Let's turn to
the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 18. Start reading down there with 36. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. And this is speaking about Elijah, when Elijah was praying. But he wasn't just praying just to be praying. He was praying one specific thing here, and he was praying for rain. Why it rained when Elijah prayed. You know the reason when it rained when Elijah prayed? Is because that's what Elijah was praying for, was for rain. He did not iterate that it was anything else, but he was praying for rain. In verse 36, here we see where, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I have done all, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art God, that thou art Lord God, and that thou hast turned thy heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trenches. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Abundance of rain. We know what the Lord Jesus says, that we have the abundance. And what is that abundance that we have? It comes from God himself. It does not come from me. It does not come from you. It comes from God himself. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. But we see right here talking about the rain where Elijah, he prayed. He prayed for the people there. The people, they went out and they had burnt sacrifices. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trenches. There was any trench.
Yeah.
There was one trench, there was one ditch, or one trench, you want to call it, there. And it went around into a circle. And what was in the middle of that circle was Elijah. Elijah and the people. And Elijah was there praying. And he wasn't praying for the people there. He was praying that they would get right and start following God, because they had already turned from the wicked ways back to God. But Elijah, he prayed constantly for rain. Constantly for rain. You know what that tells me of? That when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to have one thing on our mind. We need to have one specific thing on our minds to pray for. And that's all we need to pray for when we go to the Lord in prayer for that request. Maybe somebody that is sick, is having to go to the hospital and having to have emergency surgery. That's all we should pray for. We should not pray for their family. We should not pray for the place that they work at. We need to pray specifically for that. And that's what Elijah done. Elijah prayed for prayer. I mean, he prayed for rain. And he, when he did pray, before he even started his prayer, he always asked God, I believe, help me, Lord. He knew he had to have the help of God to do his work. And he always done it in the name of the Lord. You'll never see nowhere in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ ever said, I do it in the name of the Lord. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I do it in the name of the Father. I'll do it in the name of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He's always there. He's always there in heaven, and he's got a handout. He's got a handout, and he says, Bill, huh? I have a handout. It's a blessing. And it's a promise. Would you want to come and accept it? But we have to remember one thing. We have to know which one is speaking. We have to know if it's the Spirit of God or is it the spirit of the devil. Because you have two spirits. You have the inward spirit that is the Holy Ghost that lives within us after we get saved. And right before we got saved. And then on top of that, we have the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Lucifer, the spirit of the devil. He does not live on the inside of us like the Father and like the Son and like the Holy Ghost does. He lives on the outside of this body is corrupt. Why is it corrupt? Because of the devil. Because of everything the devil has done.
He is corrupt. He wants to corrupt my body. He wants to corrupt your body. And he knows if he can corrupt our bodies and get our minds off of God and start worrying about, oh me, oh my, oh me, pity me. I don't think I can go any longer. My legs are so weak, I don't think I can walk to that door. But at least I can get up and I can try to walk to the door. And if I happen to fall, then I have to do this, wait that for a minute or two, and the Lord will help me out. And then I can get up on my feet again, and I can preside on, and I can get to the door. It may take me just a little while longer because I failed. Why did I fall? It wasn't because God wanted me to fall. It ain't because I wanted to fall. I believe it was God was trying to slow me down a little bit. Said you're getting way too far ahead of yourself. You need to slow down. You need to start thinking about where you're going. Like Elijah, I believe God says to us, you need to pray about it. You need to ask me, where do I need you the most today? Do I need you at the church watching somebody to mow the grass? Or do I need you out here visiting the family up the road? You don't know if they go to church or not. Well, I would think, you know, as far as God's concerned, God would want me to go up the road. Because I'm not going to do nothing to the grass. I'm not going to be in a mowing it. I'm not going to have a weed eating around the church. I'm not going to have anything to do with the grass. Why? Somebody else is doing that. Well, somebody else doing that, but we don't have nobody else that is down here that is maybe able or at that time or whatever to go out and do anything. So the ones that can do, we must do. You don't must do it because you can do it. Because if you go that route, you'll never do it. And I'll never do it. So I can go out. And I can do something to bring joy to the heart of God. You know, we don't really say a whole lot about how God feels sometimes. But can you imagine? Just imagine for a minute. Just this church right here. Just imagine for a minute now that you as an individual had the opportunity to sit where God's sitting at today. And looking over the banister of heaven and looking down through time and seeing his people, seeing his sons, seeing his daughters, and what they're doing. What are they doing? Are they doing anything for me? Or are they just, maybe they went to the Target or somewhere else to buy something, to purchase something
that really they don't need. Or really something that they can wait on for a little bit. But if the Lord has placed something on your heart, and if you isn't there, just think about it. Now you there, you took the throne of grace. God placed you right there. God's given you the same mind that He's got. You know everything. What would you say? And how would you feel if you asked one of your sons or your daughters to do something special? How would you feel if they just said, I can't right now, I got to go to Target. I got to go over there because they got this sale on and, you know, the sale's going to be off in another hour. I just can't do it right now, Lord. How would you feel if they turned you down? How would I feel? How would I feel if you turned me down? How do we feel when we turn God down? Do we feel anything at all? Do we feel like we're helpless? I think what we need, not this church, not just this church now, I think all the churches, all the Christians, each one of us needs to have a little glimpse of what's going on in hell. We know individuals that we have known in the past that they never got saved. And we know today where they're at. Can you imagine knowing yourself that you had an opportunity, or I had an opportunity, to just go and visit somebody and tell them that I know somebody that loves you more than I can, the more that I can ever do for you? Do you know anybody like that? They say, well, no. Says, you know, well, my wife. I mean, I love my wife to death. I mean, I'd walk through an army of people with shotguns and all of that, and weapons that they use in war and everything. I mean, I'd walk through them all for my wife because I love her that much. But would we walk that close to God? It's what He's asking. Can you walk that close to me that you're willing to lay down your life . Jesus was willing to lay His life down for me, and I didn't know Him. I didn't know Him. Didn't know He even existed at that time. But He laid His life down. How did He lay it down? He laid it down freely. Freely. They did not ask Him, say, well, Lord, says, you know, right now, you have an opportunity right now to come down off the cross. But before you do now, you've got to give up a little something. You have got to take your affairs, all your money, all your promises and everything, and you've got to turn them over to me.
God done that for me.
He turned heaven and earth upside down to where I wouldn't be down here. That my heart would be right there in heaven beside the of him.
And I thank him today so much for saving my soul. And my prayer is that I can stay true to God until I go home. And then after I go home, I still be true to him. And I hope and I pray to God that he will always keep my eyes focused on the Son of Cross, to where I cannot and I will not fail him. We fail him so much. We fail him so much. I fail him every day. Yeah, God, he takes me behind me. The woodshed. And he got us a special switch there. And he wears me out. Does it hurt? Oh, yes, it hurts. It's painful. Why does it hurt? What's the pain? The hurt and the pain is because I would not do what he asked me to do. That I did it my way. I said, my way is better than your way, God. But how can my way be better than his way? When it's going to take more than a day to get what I'm speaking about done. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may not even be here tomorrow. I may not be here this coming Sunday. I don't know. But one thing that I do know, that through his word, he's asked me to go and to tell other people about him. See, with God, once you get saved, there's no retirement program. You don't have no retirement age to where you can work to. And then you can say, Lord, I worked myself to the bone. Now I can rest a little while. No. You don't rest. You don't rest. Because over in the book of Deuteronomy, it speaks about rest. And it speaks about inheritance at the same time. So that means when you rest, that means you're going to start gathering up the inheritance there in heaven. That's where God is going to show you what you've inherited. And thank God for my inheritance. That it's his inheritance. And with his inheritance, now we can speak of inheritance today. And we can talk about somebody else's inheritance, your inheritance, my inheritance, or something like that to the family or something, and the family can hear you. Shoot, man. I'm gonna get all the money they got. I'm gonna get everything they got. I can sell their home and I can get that money. And I can sell this automobile and I can get that money. They're always looking at something else. But see, that's the inheritance of the devil.
See, that's what the devil wants us to think. That when we accept and when we can get that inheritance from our family here on earth, when they pass away, the devil wants us to realize that God didn't give you that inheritance. God didn't give you all that money that your mama and your daddy worked for. And they worked hard for the money. And they put it in the bank and they drew interest. They had CDs, they had stock and everything. But we're going to be rich. We're going to be rich. We're going to have enough money to where we can do anything we want to, anytime we want to. And we ain't got to worry about the money because it's going to be there. Hey. I got something better than that. Who created this earth? God. God created the heaven and the earth. And everything that's in the earth, God created. God used man to create the things that we see today. God created man. And he brought forth man and gave them the knowledge to go about building Faith Baptist Church. In building this building, where they named it Faith Baptist Church. But in naming the building, what basically he was doing, he said, we're going to name the people that enters them doors. We're going to let them know that they can be a part of Faith Baptist Church. Because see, the church, the true church, is a living, breathing organism, organ. But a church is nothing but, a building is nothing but a specific place that where you can name, put a name on it. And you can call it an organization. The first time the church was mentioned was in the book of Acts, right after Pentecost, where one of the already greatest preachers that there was at that time, and that was Peter. And I'm gonna just mention something right here, but I'm not gonna get into it because I got a message. I got them working on a message on it. The 12 disciples. But I'll leave a little hint with you on that. The disciples. Because God chose them, they was not perfect. They're just like me and you. But God, what can I do for God this week? I'm not asking you what you can do for God this week. I'm asking myself, well, God, what can I do for you this week that will bring joy to your heart? What can I do? And Lord, and whatever I do, I don't want no glory from it. Because I've already received all the glory that I deserve. And that was when he died at the cross. When he gave his life so freely. But what can I do for you this week? He said, and he'll come back and he'll say, well, I don't want you to go out here and lay your life down. I don't want you to go out here and go up to somebody's door that you know that when you go and you knock on that door, that they're going to come with a 45. And they're going to point it right between your eyes and pull the trigger. No. I'm not going to send you that. I'm going to send you to a place where the people will listen. And the only way the people can listen to what you have to say is before you get there. And before you leave home or you leave the church building, you have prayed and asked me and ask the Trinity to go to that individual that you have placed on my heart. That you'll go to that individual and you would speak to them in a way that, well, they don't understand where they've already had the guns out and everything. Well, now they're just getting them, putting them away. Putting them back in a safe. Locking his safe and just go on. Then the next thing you know, the door will be knocked upon. Someone will be there, will be there at the door. They'll be dressed. They may have a three-piece suit. They may have the very best thing that they've got to wear to meet him. And just to talk to him and let him know that I don't know who it was. But something led me here to you. And then, after you get say that, then you can say, yeah, the Lord led me here. The Lord wanted me to come see you. He's been wanting me to come see you for a while. And now is the first time that I just went and came. And I don't know what your relationship is with the Lord. I don't know what your relationship is with any church in Danville or Pennsylvania County. I don't know. I don't know what you think about the Lord. I don't know what you think about God. I don't know what you think about the Spirit. But I just want to leave something with you. That God Himself, that created the heavens and the earth, He created for not just me, not just for the saved. He created for mankind. Because it says over in the book of Genesis, after it says, I created the heavens and the earth. Then it says a little later on, I believe it's in the same chapter, or if that's not that same, not chapter 1, it's in chapter 2. Where it says, now, God took the dust of the earth and he formed man. This is what he wanted us to look like. As a human being, this is what he wanted us to look like. So he formed us with the dust of the earth to be just like him. That's what he created us for. He created us to be just like him. To worship him. But he knew. He knew that wasn't going to be. Because Lucifer had already been thrown out of heaven at that time. He had already been thrown out because he wanted to take over everything. He wanted to say, God, look what I've done. Look at what I've done. He ain't done nothing. The only thing he's done, he's caused more people to go to hell. And now this day and time, they're burning and they're screaming. They're gnashing their teeth and they're lying to people. They're doing anything. They're lying to us this morning and telling us, well, you know, I don't know why you preached that this morning. I sure didn't need that. That's the devil speaks to. The devil speaks to us in many different ways. Some ways he'll speak to us and think about, man, I tell you one thing. I sure am glad the Lord led me that way. But did he? Was it the Lord that led me that way? Or was it the devil? We have to decide which spirit that we're going to serve. We need to discern which spirit it's going to be. That's the reason Elijah prayed for one specific thing. He prayed for rain. And rain came. It filled that trench up all around the individuals, around the crops and everything. And they got soaking wet. Why? Because Elijah knew what it meant to pray. To pray for one specific thing. And when he did, God answered. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we do thank you for prayer. But, Father, and I'm also ashamed of even preaching this message this morning. Because I was not the right individual to preach this message about prayer. And Father, my prayer, this is my prayer, for my own specific self, I pray that I will listen to you when you speak. That is my prayer for my life. That I will listen. And I will listen so quietly for the small, still voice that you have to speak through the ears of this body, that it may go to my heart. And I do what you've asked me to do. Father, we need to pray for one specific thing. And then after we pray for that one specific thing, we need to pray for it until it's answered. You say, preacher, you know, what if he don't ever answer it? If he don't ever answer it, pray anyhow. Pray anyhow for the same thing. He says, don't give up your praying. That's where power comes through. And as much as we pray, if we pray for the same thing all the time until it happens, then we have power. And when we receive that power, and when we know that he has granted us the power, is when we're going to know that he has also granted that blessing to us. And Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you, Father, for these people, these servants of yours, for coming out this morning. Father, I just want to let you know now, I love you with all my being. And not only that, I love each and every one of the individuals that are here this morning with all of my being also. Father, I want to see something done. I want to see something manifest here at the church. I want to see what you will do for Faith Baptist Church. Now, Lord, you know that we've been praying for a while now that the church, that you would go and speak to the individuals that's just backslidden, cold, and indifferent. Just got upset with somebody because of the way they spoke to them or whatever. Or just got upset with somebody because the individual done something that they didn't particularly like. Father, help us, Lord, that we can go to them. And yes, Lord, as we go to them, you can give us that one specific thing to pray for. That the individual heart would be touched by the hand of God. Father, we thank you. And we love you today with all our hearts, with all our soul. Use us this week to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right.